show that pulls back the industry curtain. We're exploring pop culture, music icons, and food gods. It's the Jeremiah Show with Dr. D, broadcasting from the HJL Hospitality and Evolve Studios in LA, Santa Barbara, AM 1290 KZSB, and FM 96.9 Santa Barbara, or somewhere from the road. He's opened and fixed more than 200 restaurants, bars, nightclubs, hotels, and neighborhood joints around the globe. He's an industry driver, an author, and a columnist. He's a restaurateur with legendary rock star Mick Fleetwood on Fleetwood's on Front Street in Lahaina, Maui. And he's your radio host. And now, back from a race around the sun, Jeremiah Higgins.
Darling, tell me that I need you. Try me, and your love will always be true.
South Carolina, but I currently live in Atlanta, Georgia.
Welcome to the Jeremiah Show. I wait for this season all year long, Dr. D. Now, we've been doing this since 2016. We've been working with the great people over at NBC's The Voice. We're now on season 23. It's on NBC Mondays and Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Mark your calendar now. I will wait. Go ahead. of course, this is the show with America's best undiscovered talent, and they go head to head on teams led by four of today's biggest musical icons. They playfully compete against each other while mentoring these inspiring singers in search of the next superstar voice, and he may be on the show right now. Of course, Dr. D, our special guest today, showed up fashionably late, so he's already got the makings of a great music rock star and artist. he kept us in anticipation. It was like in the studio here. We were banging our fists on the keyboard, on the board here. We were chanting, "Jamar, Jamar." and he's here. He just laughed. I made him laugh. Jamar Langley, welcome to the show, Jamar. He's on Team Chance. Chance the Rapper, new judge here on the Voice this year, this season. It's very cool to have him, right? How you doing, Jamar? Welcome to the Jeremiah Show.
Thank you. It's great to be here, man. I'm great. You know, I know I've been a little fashionably late, but you got to make sure that it's right and tight first.
Oh, yeah.
Show up, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, you got to keep your fans waiting. It's part of the gig. I get it. You know, it just builds up the anticipation. So I like that. I like it. I like anticipating. I like wondering, will he show up? You know, it just makes it more special when you do. I love this fact. I'm, you know, because this isn't your first time on the show, I really want you to tell us about yourself, you know, and not just read off a bio that and research that I did online. Although I did do my research. I did my homework on you, Jamar. So I don't know how, okay, if that makes you nervous or if it makes you, if you're all content with that. But I've got some 411 on you.
Listen, give me the tea, man. I want to hear it. I want to hear about myself.
Yeah, well, I mean, stuff that you already know. You're from Andrews, South Carolina. I don't know anybody from Andrews. This is the first time. What's Andrews, South Carolina like?
Man, it's a small, very country town that's made up of about 3,000 people. So you see everybody 3,000? More than once in a run of a day.
Oh, boy, you get down.
It's in the low country area, so it's about 45 minutes from Myrtle Beach. Yes, I said okay. 45 minutes. So that's actually short, but, you know, it's Andrews. So it's like in the middle of nowhere, basically.
Was it a good
very small.
Was it a good town to grow up in? Do you have good memories or?
Oh, man, I have the best memories in Andrews, man, from being outside riding bikes and rollerblading and skating. And I had a go-kart when I was younger.
Oh, man.
You know, I used to be running through people's gardens, which I know that's not a good thing, but I mean, I did it. I was young. So, you know,
that was you,
you know, for, yeah, it was me. It was definitely me. And just, man, we stayed outside all the time. Like, and the town is so small to the point where when you do ride your bike, you can literally ride like to the actual town area and back in like 5 minutes.
That sounds like, that sounds small. Like the way it should be, right? A small town, USA, yeah. Staying out from dawn to dusk and nobody's worried about you. Your parents trust that you're safe. I like that. And a go-kart, mm-hmm. man. I'm so jealous because I wanted a go-kart so bad my entire childhood. And I think mm-hmm. my dad was a contractor, so he built things. And I think he started one for me, but I don't think it was ever finished. So I'm envious here, but good for you having a go-kart.
Man.
What was your go-kart?
Yeah, you know.
Did it have a number on it?
It didn't have a number. My helmet had a number, which was number 11.
Is that your lucky number?
Yeah, that was the number I had through high school and every sport. It was just, you know, it's just my favorite number.
What
yeah,
sports like, did you play?
I played basketball throughout from 7th grade to 12th. I played basketball. I played football. I played soccer. And, of course, I was in the chorus, the chorale, the jazz band. I was in state band. I played trumpet. And I was first chair. I'm proud to say that, you know. So it's always been about like sports, music, activity, just using all the gifts that I have. So like I maintained a very busy childhood as far as growing up goes.
Well, it sounds like you had really great parents and I can't, you know, and a great upbringing in a great little town mm-hmm. with good hobbies, good, you know, pursuits to keep you out of trouble. Like, some of us kids get into when we don't have enough to do.
This is true.
Jamar, I think this is just incredible. You are the youngest of 8 siblings. You've got 8 siblings. You're the baby. And
yes, I am.
The baby of the family is usually regarded as very special to the family. And how did being the youngest with 7 older siblings shape who you are today? Was describe that family unit that you had, that support system and the good and the bad there.
Well, you know, I guess I could say the good thing is I'm the youngest. Okay. So I got the advantage of mom and dad cause I'm the last one born. So
they're like, whatever Jamar wants to do. Yeah, that's fine.
My brother, that's a little like 6 years older than me. Sorry, brother. I came in, you know, I stole your thunder. So my apologies. But I'm not sorry. But yeah, like, you know, being the youngest of 8, man, you just learn something from each family member. You know, they always say, hey, I taught you how to walk. And you got this one that say, well, you know what? I was the first person to ever sing to you. So like, you got it from me. And, you know, just to hear that banter going back and forth is always like, it's always funny, man. Everyone has done something in my life as I was growing up to contribute to now. And it's so funny to hear. They always talk about it all the time. But just over the years, I just learned at least one thing from each family member. Like, rather it's like being hands on, learning how to paint, learning how to draw, you know, change a tire, change oil, you know, like how to cook oysters in a ditch on a tin foil. You know, like, wow. Hey, like,
why did you do that in a ditch? The ditch part
gets
me.
It was just something.
No, tinfoil.
It was just some. Listen, it was just something that it's something that we did. You know, I'm from the country where it actually makes sense to like cook oysters that way. It's the weirdest thing when I say that, but it's just what they did. You know, and like, oh no, it turned into a skill.
I don't think it's weird. I think it's really cool and interesting, and it's original. I've never heard that before. So that's the reason I asked you about it. But no, I don't think it's weird at all. I love it.
Oh,
and I love that idea, you know, that you just painted there about each sibling had something to contribute, or at least they think so, to your success. You know, everybody's taking a little bit of credit for Jamar. Jamar, what do you take credit for? What do you say? No, that was me. What is it about you that you will take credit for and won't let them have?
Besides my basketball skills, because, you know, you can't tell my brothers they didn't teach me anything, you know, but
no.
I take credit for, honestly, really staying with it, to be honest, because I had one brother that played the keyboard, and I used to watch him in the room all the time play. And, you know, like, I developed the interest through seeing him doing it, and I kind of pretty much mimicked what his hands were doing, and that's really how I learned how to play.
Oh, wow.
But I think what I did to contribute to that is I just stuck with it. Same with guitar. Just seeing my dad play, one of my older brothers play. And it's just like I pick it up and I play. But the difference is, like, I just decide to stick with it. So I do give myself credit for just hanging in there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hanging in there, taking interest and then learning all that. I mean, amazing that you've learned all those. So let's go back to basketball that you take credit for and that you're really good at, it sounds like. Are you good at basketball?
Man, I was pretty good. Yeah.
How tall are you?
I was in my state, I was ranked in my state in 11th grade. So,
wow.
And I had an offer to go to Johnson C. Smith University at one point in time, but I fractured my ankle that same year. And it kind of, so 12th grade, I kind of played half a season because I never could really bounce back from the injury. Oh, so
I'm sorry to hear that. Well, that just meant that, that you had a different path, you know, that was meant for you, right? Like where you're at right now. Tell me about how many instruments? Your guitar, if I counted right, vocals, which I think is your vocals are an amazing instrument. You play the piano. What else do you play?
I play bass guitar, electric, acoustic, I play keys. I play a little drums as well. And then I still play a little trumpet. I don't get to play as much as I did when I was in the actual band, but I still play too. Vocal arrange.
You're a one man. You could, if you had more hands and fingers, you could do it all.
Yes, exactly. Just give me like three more arms. I would have been okay.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Well, I love that because you understand, you understand every aspect and every, I guess, position in the music makeup and the artistry of everybody coming together. And that's got to be a really great skill as well to have in your position as a musician and an artist, to understand your fellow musicians when you play with them,
and then
get in sync. And, you know, that's so important, I think, for the success of any music to have. It's like we were talking about this the other day, a chef in a kitchen with their ingredients, everybody has the same ingredients, but you put that love into what you're doing and the cooking and the ingredients and the process and then the person that you put that in front of can feel that what you put into it. And so I think there's a lot of similarities with music too, right? It's putting that, what you put into it, the love and the attention and the understanding of the people that are around you that are also helping make that song come to life and that music come to life. You can feel it when it's a really good band, when it's a really good artist. Do you agree?
Yes. Yeah. I totally agree. I couldn't have said it better myself. It's like what you put into it definitely comes out in the music. And I learned that early, you know, just early on in life, you know, especially during my teenage years of wanting to sing and wanting to play. And my dad and mom would always say, make sure you have like a purpose for what you're doing. It don't just do it because you'll never really get to the level that you're going for if you just do it. Like, you'll always just be able to say, hey, I can sing a little bit. I can hold a note. Hey, I could play a little bit. You know, I could strum. You know, hey, let me touch those keys. I can twinkle a little bit. You just want to be able to love what you do and, you know, get all the way invested into it and to be able to share that with other people, because they really could feel like your passion for what you do. And it's going to show in how professional you become in your craft.
And a band, I'd imagine, is sort of a snapshot or a microcosm or a little bit of what the world is, where you, if you understand what your bass player is going through, if you understand what your drummer is going through, your keys, they know that you understand them, and it's, in a way, it's empathy and also, just a respect for them that yes. I imagine comes together, you know, in mm-hmm. a band on a stage, that you become, you know, this, what we hope we all do in real life and in the world today,
yes,
you know,
definitely. That's a great way to put it, man. It's literally being able to understand every instrument and having the ear for what you want to hear, and opposed to not really being able to explain what you want to hear, but you know you hear something, but you know you're not all the way maybe invested into a certain part of your musicality to really express what you're hearing. All you know is, hey, I want like a certain part here, but it's like, opposed to saying, hey, could you hit that D right there and drop down to the C right there? Yeah. I'm going to do this chord. You know, it just makes a big difference when you're invested into the little intricacies of music, you know? So,
love it.
Man, I'm grateful to be able to like just zone in and be able to fix that part and not get that part late. You know, I got that part early, so I'm grateful for that part.
God, you're a really well-versed and diverse artist. I love it. Dr. D, is Chloe in the waiting room yet? Let's take a real quick break and we'll come back with Jamar. Jamar, when we came in, we played your voice, Blind Audition. You sang a beautiful rendition of James Brown's Try Me. Soulful,
yes.
just powerful. We played that when we started the show. And we're going to take you out with another song that Jamar has put together. It's a cover, one of my favorite songs ever, Tennessee Whiskey. Just beautiful. We're gonna actually play the entire cover here for you. And we'll be right back. I want you to set your, I don't know, do people have DVRs anymore? Just set your phone. just NBC's The Voice, season 23, Mondays and Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Jamar's on the on the season, man, and we're talking with him here today. His coach is Chance the Rapper. There are new episodes on NBC Mondays and Tuesdays, 8/7 Central, and streaming the next day on Peacock. That's usually how I catch it. America's Best Undiscovered Talent goes head to head on teams led by four of today's biggest musical icons, who playfully compete against each other while mentoring these inspiring singers in search of the next superstar voice. Peacock is now the streaming home of your favorite NBC shows, plus so much more. Jamar Langley is our special guest. Go check him out. Follow him at NBC The Voice, season 23, hashtag Team Chance. And if you'd like to book Jamar for your event, contact him at jlangleybooking@gmail.com and on Instagram at Jamar Langley Music. We'll be right back. Enjoy Tennessee Whiskey, Jamar Langley.
I'm from Andrew, South Carolina, but I currently live in Atlanta, Georgia.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example of not giving up, because you didn't start out perfect.
Yeah.
And then it got really good, and then it started getting great. And Chance and I both were like, you know what? I'm going in. I'm blown away by the fight that you have in you.
Wow.
Really good.
I appreciate
great
that.
Job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a fighter.
I am putting together the last team that I will ever put together as a coach on The Voice.
Oh, my God.
Jamar, I would be honored if you'd be a part of that group with me, man.
Okay.
Chance doesn't really even care about his team. This is his first try. He's just figuring it out.
There's nothing harder than hearing Blake say that same speech every time to each person he turns around.
Oh, man.
Except for
it's true.
Powering through a performance. I would love to have you on my team. I think that you could go really far in this competition with your tone. And when you got done performing, you were probably celebrating because we turned around. But I feel like a lot of it also was just you were proud of yourself. And in this moment,
definitely.
If you want to win the whole competition, obviously you got to come get down with Chance Team. You know what I'm saying?
Jamar, who do you pick as your coach?
Okay.
Come on, Jamar. Let's do this thing. Come on.
I have to go with my boy Chance.
I am Shadow Stevens. While I'm doing this and that and the other thing at the very same time, I'm having a great time on The Jeremiah Show, the greatest show in the history of the world. For the love of God, subscribe. No, seriously, subscribe.
Hey there, I'm Caleb.
I'm Becca.
And I'm Joshua.
And we are a girl named Tom.
And we just released our very first Christmas album called One More Christmas. It's streaming everywhere and we hope you love it. Go to girlnamedtom.com to hear more of our music, buy merchandise, and learn about our story. You're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
Hey everybody, it's Tim Stack from It's Radio with TV's Tim Stack telling you, asking you to watch the show Sprung on Freevee, Amazon's new free channel. I promise you, it's funny, it's got heart, and my shoulder appears in episode 3.
Welcome, Los Angeles. The Jeremiah Show is now on Radio Candy Radio. Discover a world of emotions, your digital radio. The Jeremiah Show airs 10 p.m. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. RadioCandyRadio.com.
Chevy. Music.
Is it love or am I dreaming? Either way, it's all about you. Finally, I'm a believer. Baby girl, you know you're the truth. Ooh, baby, you don't know. You got me spinning round and round. Ooh, baby, ooh, baby, you don't know. You got me floating off the ground. Get your mind.
NBC's The Voice Season 23, Mondays and Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Central, 7 Central. We've got Jamar Langley on today, big superstar. Just made it through the blind auditions, man. Oh, my God, the pressure. And I don't know how you guys get through that kind of thing. I want to talk about The Voice in this part, in this half of the segment. But before we do, before I leave your upbringing, there's just not enough time with you this first time, Jamar. So you got to come back and we get to know each other a little bit more. I love that you had this whole idea of the having 7 siblings, you youngest of 8 in the family, the music that was in your family that's basically in your blood and who you are and who you all are together. It's been said that you grew up in a household where everybody sang, and you had a joyful family of artists. Was it joyful? Was it a happy family?
Yes, it still is. Like, honestly, I had to put my phone on airplane mode because one of my brothers are calling me not too long ago. So it's all day. Like, I hear from at least five of my siblings every day. So,
sorry, Jamar.
It's always been
we've got a special guest joining you right now, one of your friends.
What?
Yeah, we've got Chloe's joining you.
Chloe Bear.
Chloe Abbott. Are you guys just, when's the last time you saw each other?
Yesterday.
Via FaceTime, exactly.
All right. Well, I'm glad. I don't want to interrupt ever, so I'll keep you together. I'll just be the mediator here in the middle if you guys ever need to have any questions. Otherwise, just stay online together.
Oh my God. Yes.
Hey, welcome, Chloe. We're still talking with Jamar here, and you're welcome to ask any burning questions you have. I'd love for you to help me out with the interview if you'd like. But we were talking about Jamar's family being the youngest of eight, and the family, just the music in the family, and how, you know, your brother was just calling you a moment ago. Does it feel good when your brother calls you when you're doing a radio interview to like say, "Hey, bro, I'm doing radio right now."
Oh man, you know that's major.
I'm hot right now. Don't
immediately talk. I'm texting him like, "Bro, hey, hit you back. I'm doing an interview." And he'd be like, "Okay, yeah, man, that's what's up. Like, hopefully, you know, tell me all about it."
Yeah, I hope it was the brother that told you that he taught you about music.
Oh man, you know what? That is my brother Jaron, who has claims to every part of my life, musically, socially. He taught me everything. If you leave it to him.
Oh, that's nice. Give him a nice tribute here. Well, tell us about the band Addiction that you and your siblings put together.
Yes, about Addiction. So, and this is like really my first time ever really singing in front of a crowd. But it all started with mom and dad, of course, singing. And then we pretty much picked up those harmonies from singing in church and listening to groups like The Temptations. Like, it's like we were very strong on The Temptations. You couldn't tell us that we weren't The Temptations or the Jackson 5. And of course I was Michael. Okay. So like,
did you have all the moves?
All that, like,
I wish we could see you get up and do a move.
You know what? I had a few. I busted one little spin on my blonde audition. So I'm sure I got that from Michael. I'm sure it came from him. No, but yeah, like eventually we just started singing together and, you know, first we had this funny name called 5 Pounds. I never understood why we called ourselves 5 Pounds. I guess we were five brothers pounding each other up. I don't know. I would never get that name ever. But eventually we came up with Addiction. So we would sing locally meaning for 4th of July, Thanksgiving, for Christmas. You know, we weren't booked any gigs or anything yet. But then it started opening up to like weddings.
Chloe's cracking up.
And little family. You know, this is every
day. So funny. No, because this is like the 4th of July. And then, you know, I mean, like, he's like, yeah, we started booking gigs, you know, like around the house, like Thanksgiving, in the family room.
Laundry on Sundays.
Hey, everybody, listen, we all have to start. We have humble beginnings.
Okay? Hey, it doesn't matter, man. As long as you got an audience.
So eventually we got like a call to come to Savannah to sing like at a lounge. And that from that point, it was like a chain reaction. We kept going to Savannah, then we would go to like Columbia. And eventually we landed in Atlanta at the Crow's Nest. But I was still too young to get in there because, you know, they were serving alcohol. So I was just too young. So they were like, yeah, watch your brother to make sure he doesn't drink before he sings. I'm like, dude, I don't even know what a drink is right now. Like,
with a band name like Addiction, though. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Right, yeah.
Called Addiction.
Not the best name to walk into the room with. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, like that was my first stage experience. I think I was 14 years old then. Mm. It was my first time ever singing on the stage in front of people and people yelling at me. And the old women like, "Oh, that little boy can sing." And, you know, just hugging up on me and everything. And I'm like, what's going on? But eventually I caught on to, okay, yeah, this is called fan love. You know, like, as I grew up. But addiction just started dwindling after they realized that I had, like, my talent was just getting better and was getting better. And they were like, okay, man, we're just going to support you. You got it. We're behind you 100%. But still be there on the 4th of July, Thanksgiving, and Christmas so we can do our set for the family.
Tuned okay? up. Ready to go.
Tuned up. Yeah, yeah, he's ready. I don't know if you know this, Chloe. Jamar showed up about 15 minutes late, like fashionably late, though, like cool guy, like, hey, I'm here. You know, we were doing like an encore. We were stomping, waiting at the radio station.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he's already he's got the whole stage thing down. He knows it, the audience, how to tease us.
Yeah.
Jamar, I'm going to have to fast forward your life, but I want to ask this question of both of you. Cause I just think I imagine it this way. I romanticize it, that it must be like that, this for an artist such as both of you, music artists, that at some point in your life, like the heavens crack and a beam comes down of light, and you say, and I can hear like the choir, you know, and someone says, you're a music artist. You're going to do music the rest of your life. Is there some sort of experience like that for you, for both of you, a religious experience, or did you just know my family does this? I've got 8 siblings or 7 and we are music. And so there's nothing else for me. This is what I'm going to pursue and do. Or was there a moment that you said, I'm pursuing music. I'm going to bring beautiful music to this world.
You know, yes, there was actually a moment. I think I was about 19 years old when I realized that, man, like, I'm really good at this. Because when you sing in enough bathrooms at school and you sing for enough women in high school, and you realize you're just really good at what you do, you know, I'm serious. That's for me, that was like the training ground. Like, you know, because there aren't any like really event spaces or lounges or places that I could go and sing on stage. Like most of my singing was literally in high school. But after that, I realized that, man, like I'm really, just from the age of 12 to 19, I've gotten so good at everything, like musically, songwriting, you know, singing. And I'm like, okay, this is what I should be doing for sure. And, you know, I've been in the 20s is when my musical ear just really kind of opened up and I could really hear, like, and then I started getting to jazz and classical and to just be able to hear that and mimic that stuff on instruments. And, you know, eventually that's the type of, you know, guitarist and keyboard that I became, like jazz, funk, neo soul. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, I really got it. Like, I'm really a legit artist. Like, this is what I need to be doing. Because, and honestly, to see even some of my family's reactions, some of my aunts like that love to hear me sing and they always go to tears. And it's just like, it pushes you and it helps you realize that, okay, you have something to offer the world. Like, you know, it's not local anymore. The cookout days are over. It's time to like bring it out to the world. But that's one battle. But then you have to figure out how to get there. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But it was around 19. I don't want to get to talking too much because.
Well, Chloe, I'm going to ask you the question in your segment here. We do have to wrap up your segment, unfortunately, Jamar, and get to Chloe.
I know.
But God, I really wanted to hear your road to The Voice. Has it been everything you have expected? It's been hard, I'm sure. Tell us a little bit about your road to The Voice, and then we'll take a break and come back with Chloe.
My road to The Voice, you know, it was, luckily I was, like, you know, as far as production, cameras being in my face and rehearsals and having to work hard, you know, I came from that, you know, years prior. So going to The Voice, I wouldn't say it was like easy breezy, but I just knew how to take the moment, you know, and really capitalize and really just push through. So when it was time to sing, you know, I was just ready. I was ready to go, to be honest. So my road to The Voice was, it was a challenge, I guess, with not being able to sing every day and do the same thing, because I'm so used to rehearsing with the band every other day. But that would be the only thing. Other than that, it was a lovely ride for me.
Do you know, did you know who you wanted and were hoping for as a coach when you went into it?
Yes. Once I realized that Chance was there, it was automatic. I was like, Chance. Yeah. But then when Blake turned around, I was like, ooh, okay.
How do I let him down gently?
This is the one and only Blake. So it's like,
Well,
yeah,
you know,
I watched
your audition, your blind audition over and over. And when the coaches were talking to you, which we actually play in this, and Blake, you were so, I could tell who you wanted to choose. And you were so kind and polite, but it's like, Blake's like, I want you to come with me. It's my last team I'm putting together. And you're like, oh, okay, thank you. You know, like, it's like, thank you.
It was that obvious, man.
It was obvious to me. God. It was obvious. Blake's not kidding you.
Oh my goodness, but you were very polite.
You were so polite. But it was like that rejection, that nice rejection when we can just be friends. I like you as a friend. Let's not ruin that. Okay, I'm going to let you say, because I did want to also ask you about your wife, the story of being hooked up to with your wife by your son, Christian. But that's I think we might have to save that for another show. You'll have to come back and tell us that story.
I would. Yes, I'd definitely be back for that.
But I want to give you an opportunity. Thank whoever you'd like to thank here, and don't forget your family.
Listen, they get my thanks every day. And no, I'm just kidding. No, thank you to my beautiful family. They've always been supportive. I mean, 100% mom, dad, all of my siblings. I'm not going to just name them. You know, all of them, nieces, nephews, everybody, every family member. Special thanks to all of my good friends. You know, my boy Jay Reed, my boy Dominique. Thank you guys for just being in the trenches with me and, like, you know, to this point. And hey, we're moving up. And honestly, thank you to my friend that's sitting in front of us too,
Chloe.
You know, we've developed quite a bond. Yes, and she's very supportive. Like, she's like one of my number one fans, and I am one of hers too. Like, we've built that. So, like, she's definitely, she deserves that from me too. So, Chloe, you know, Clover, thank you, thank you, thank you. And, you know, just honestly, thank you to everyone that's been loving it so far. Thank you all. And thank you, man, for having me on here.
I'm telling you, both of you, this is your future home for dropping your singles and your music and keeping up with
yes.
it.
So.
Anytime you want to come back,
anytime
you want to come back, we're here. We're here for you and love to talk to you. Love to play your music as we are today. And yes, Jamar Langley indicated the superstar, if you're watching us on YouTube, off to our right there, Chloe Abbott. I can't wait to meet her and talk to her. Her story is as fascinating as yours, Jamar. And so we're going to have to wait for just a moment and go to the break. I wanted to point everybody in your direction one last time, Jamar. Jamar Langley, he is on NBC Season 23, The Voice. Chance the Rapper is his coach. NBC Season 23 on NBC Monday and Tuesday, 8, 7 Central, and streaming the next day on Peacock. The coaches this year, Chance the Rapper, Kelly Clarkson, Niall Horan, Blake Shelton, and host is Carson Daly. Great show. We've been together since, I think, season 16 for quite a while now here at the Jeremiah Show. For inquiries of Jamar Langley, jlangleybooking@gmail.com, and find him on Instagram at Jamar Langley Music. Jamar, once again, thank you so much. And check out on YouTube his video, really great video, Highlight Girl, original.
Yes.
Yeah, Jamar Langley. Jamar, thanks so much. And you're welcome to hang out if Chloe doesn't mind, but if she wants to boot you, that's all her call. And we'll be right back.
Welcome, Somerset, England. The Jeremiah Show is now on Core Radio. Keep on rocking to the core. Core Radio. The Jeremiah Show airs at 10 p.m. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursday. Core Radio. Dot rocks.
It is Cam Anthony here. Make sure you find me on Spotify, where you can find all of my latest music. And make sure you tune in to The Jeremiah Show.
We're back with the Jeremiah Show.
All right. Know your eyes in the morning sun. Love you to touch me in the pouring rain.
your name?
My name is Chloe Abbott. I'm 24 years old from Detroit, Michigan, and I am training for the 2024 Olympics.
That makes perfect sense. You got amazing breath control.
All the runs you did were just very controlled.
Thank you.
Like Anita Baker and Nora Jones somehow. I've never seen that
Those
before.
Hey, welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. We are having a really great time here on the show with two of my soon-to-be favorite voice artists. I just love hanging out with these two right now. We may never end this show. It may just go on forever. We'll turn it into a telethon and raise some money here for something. It's season 23 of The Voice, NBC's The Voice. Wow, we saved Chloe here. Chloe joined us with Jamar, and Chloe Abbott is on the show now. I wanted to just point out real quickly that we came in from the break with her blind audition.
Yeah.
And Chloe Abbott. She sang Bee Gees, How Deep Is Your Love? Oh my God, that was so, so good. Blind auditions. Chloe, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I'm so excited to be here. And I'm so glad you let me know that you guys listened to the blind audition. So,
I'll do you better. I've got a couple of your performances. I've got you live at Tiny Room. I've got you doing the cover of Billie Eilish. And one of my favorite, like both of you guys, Lamar and Chloe, really put out some great like very high produced, well produced videos. And Chloe, one of my favorite songs now, this video is just amazing. Dinner Table Talks. I love that video. It's a lot of fun and it's so true.
Literally, I wrote that song so like true to my family at Christmas time. Like it was such an on par song. And I was like, well, we might as well just have like a whole like video for it. And that was like my first ever music video that I ever like creative directed and put together. And so I'm really glad that I got it out there and it kind of showed me the process of being like a full-time artist and like, it's not easy. So,
all right. Yeah. I mean, what a production to not only write, produce, arrange, record, master, all the different things you do just for the single. And then you got to take that now and bring it to life on film. And then you bring your family into it. It's probably even more. It has a few more challenges. I'm going to be kind there.
1,000%. It was so honestly so funny. We like ordered like Boston Market to like have for the dinner table scene. And then I had like
Boston
my best
Market.
Friend, her mom, my grandmother, my mom, my track coach from high school and like his family. We were like, we don't want to pay for people to pull up. So let's just grab everybody. So I went back home to Michigan so we could keep costs low and the vibe full and rich. So it was perfect, to be honest.
It was a very, your family looks amazing. They look like a lot of fun and the whole shoot looked like a lot of fun. So you didn't shoot in LA. You shot back home.
Yeah, I think it was easiest because I actually, we didn't produce the song there. The song wasn't produced there, but it was during like the winter time. So it was kind of like I think that was during COVID. It was like right after COVID hit. Yeah. So everything was kind of shut down. So I was home and it was just easier to just shoot there. And obviously, like I said, keep costs low and not have to pay for extras and like to make, you know, the house look full. So I got as many people as I could and we just rallied in my coach's house and just made that set a thing. So
yeah, you got to definitely go check it out after the interview here, but we're going to play the song at the end. You mentioned Boston Market. I haven't had Boston Market since I lived in LA. You live in LA now, right?
I do. LA native.
Do you ever go to the one over there on Pico?
Yes, I do. But I actually never knew that there was a Boston Market in LA.
Yeah,
so
there's one over there on Pico and like, I don't know what, Barrington or something. All right. Well, welcome to the show. It's so good to have you here. And tell us, I imagine as we were talking a little bit with Jamar, that the road to The Voice filled with obstacles, filled with challenges, filled with probably a lot of self-doubt. I mean, to make that decision that both of you have made, that you made about going to The Voice, going to LA, going and performing and putting it all out there for so many, for these just world-class judges. Mm-hmm. Only the brave.
I mean, yeah, I think honestly, like, I don't know. I feel like when it came to auditioning and going for it with The Voice, it wasn't necessarily doubt. I feel like it was actually kind of like this crave that I had, because like I, in my daytime, I'm a track and field athlete. And so it's kind of like, it was kind of nice, to be honest, because what I love to do is to sing and produce and be creative. And so when I got the opportunity to go for it, there was no question in my spirit. It was like 1000%, like, go for it. This is an opportunity you won't be able to get often. So just go for it. And so when I got the opportunity to audition, I went at it full speed and just prayed that I was going to make it through, you know, to go and be on the blind audition portion of the show. And when it happened, it was like, oh, we are guns blazing. We are going, like, this is fire. Like, whatever. I don't care what I got to do. I'm going to commit to this song. I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm going to not eat sugar. I'm going to do what I have to do to make it through these blinds. And so I'll say, like, the journey, definitely, I didn't expect it to be the way that it was. If you were to ask me like 15 years ago, if I was going to be on a reality singing show, I would have been like 1000%. But I would have thought it would have happened years ago. I thought, like, honestly, I thought I would have been on this thing a long time ago. So it wasn't on my time clock. Preferably, I would have done it when I was like 7 years old. Like, that's always been a dream of mine. But the journey to getting to this place, it wasn't expected, but I would not have changed it any other way.
Every day, the time that it happened, you're saying, is the time that it was meant to be. You, at seven, you wouldn't have, if you would have made it on at seven, you would not have
nothing would have
the experience. Yeah.
I don't know if anything would have come from it, to be honest.
Like, I bet it would.
Something to put on my resume.
But it sounds like there was no fear, that you don't have fear. You have confidence, and that fuels you. Is that a fair assessment?
1000%. 1000%. I think, like, as my job, like, it's really my job to be able to, like, handle fear and handle the self talk that you try to tell yourself you can't, you know, do mm-hmm. something or can't accomplish something. And so I'm kind of used to having to, like, ignore some of the things that, like, I feel like the internal side of you tries to tell you about yourself.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a lie. I feel like, you know, when you acknowledge your gifts and you acknowledge what you can do, it's like that inner self-doubt, self-talk is just like, you're either going to listen to it and let it rule, you know, what you're going to do, or you're going to ignore it and, you know, just go for what you feel in your spirit you can accomplish, you know?
It's a lie. I love that. That's so true. I mean, whenever your doubt comes in and it's telling you you can't do something, it's a lie. And you're built that way, right? You're built, we're going to talk about that too. You're built in your mind to win. You go for the win. You go for whatever's harder, you push hard. If it's hard, you push harder. You push through. You persevere. Yeah, you're built that way, mm-hmm. right? Your character. And then it, I imagine it's very powerful, very, very useful for what you're doing in as an artist as well. To get out there.
Yeah. And I think, like, even I have Jamar on here, like, you know, when we're at The Voice and when we're, like, going through the auditions, like, it is tough, you know, like, you're constantly deciding, should I do this? Should I do that with my song? What is it going to do? What I got to do to turn these chairs around? And there are definitely so many moments of just working on the song so much. You start to, yeah, like, second guess, like, is what I did the first day that I got here as good as, you know, the day I'm going to audition? And people don't realize the amount of time that passes between, you know, you getting to the show and then actually landing on stage. Mm-hmm. So we've had so many conversations, me, Jamar, and a few other contestants, like, about all of that and how we kind of kept each other rooted in our faith and also our belief in ourselves and our abilities. So we've had these conversations a lot about, like, you know, just go out there and do your thing. Like, don't get wrapped up in the hype of the show. Don't get wrapped up in the hype of the coaches. Just, like, you have a God-given ability. So, like, just operate in it in full confidence.
Trust.
And so we held each other down, like, seriously, a lot during the process.
I love it. Chloe, one, we do have to take a break right now. Dr. D's been waving at me for 2 minutes, so, but I pretend like I couldn't see him. Don't tell him. Because I have one last question before break, and if you could keep it brief, just so I don't get in trouble. When you specifically, I love that you have a unit there, a support unit that you trust in your God-given ability, as you said that. But what is before a race? I mean, you're going out for the Olympics. You are training for the Olympics, and you're training to be the voice. When you have those self-doubts that creep in, is there one trick that you have that you could share with the rest of us that have self-doubt every day that might help us?
Yeah. To keep it brief, because that's a packed question, Jeremiah, now. But
I know. I ask a really tough question. And could you tell me in two words or less? go as long as you need to. We'll just...
Stacking your wins, I think, is the biggest thing that helps you. And it's, in short, it's basically being able to focus on the positives and focus on the things that you've done well, you know, preparation. Okay, I prepped for this moment. I prepped for this race. I prepped for this audition. So you can have faith in that, you know, like believing in what you've already done to kind of remember on the line or on stage behind that microphone, like I've already done all the work at this point. Like, what do I have to lose, you know? And so that's kind of the short, real concise version of, you know, how to keep it cool under pressure.
you delivered perfectly. Thank you. Look, she's just pro, isn't she, Jamar? Dr. D? All right, Dr. D. All right. We're going to take a commercial break. We just lost 5 sponsors, but it was worth it to me. I don't know what you think. Okay, we're going to go to break right now. We are with Chloe Abbott, Jamar Langley from season 23, The Voice. First two artists on the show here with me, and I'm so honored to have both of them. NBC's The Voice season 23, Monday, Tuesday, 8/7 Central, streaming the next day on Peacock. And I don't know if you noticed out there, everybody listening, that Chloe doesn't say 100% like most of us do. She says 1,000%. Just a little thing I noticed. We'll be right back. Oh, hold on. Before Dr. D, don't cut me. Before we go to break, I'm going to tell you what you're going to be listening to out. This is live at Tiny Room. Now, the title's MNJS Moments, number 12, live at Tiny Room. What are you performing here? Do you remember?
Yes. Nora Jones, I think I was singing.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I was singing a Nora Jones song.
All right. Well, we're going to let you listen. We'll be right back.
When did you start, like, making music?
I mean, I've been singing before I could speak, but I mean, I've been also athletic.
So you're training for the Olympics or to be on the team, or how does it work?
Yeah, so basically you try out for the Olympic trials. You have to run a certain time to qualify for the trials. Then you make it to the Olympics. So it's pretty tough, but...
Yeah, well, I know, because I've been training for the U.S. curling team for a couple of years now. So I just didn't know how much different it is for track and field.
Beer drinking Olympics.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah, you do.
Is anybody else just sick of Blake lying? A lot of lies come from Blake. Carson!
Yeah. Good timing.
Yeah, yeah.
Good timing.
No, you stay right there,
man. Good timing. I gotta hook him up.
You are more than welcome to sit in my seat while we make sure the world knows the truth.
Can do that, actually. Yeah. Come on over to the cool seat.
We're gonna hook
so
you
many
up
lies.
To a lie detector test. We need to establish a baseline. So, is your name Blake Shelton?
My name is Blake Shelton, yes.
Okay, let's see.
Yes.
Oh, true.
Let's tell me the truth.
Oh,
okay. Okay. One truth.
Okay. Did you block me this season?
Oh. I still don't think that was me.
You don't think, is that?
You liar!
Am I truly your favorite coach?
Absolutely. Yep. I'm telling you, this thing doesn't work. It doesn't work.
I'm only giving you that because of your wife.
On me.
So and obviously your son.
Did Gwen marry you out of sheer pity? Probably. Yes.
Deep down.
Deep down.
What was that deal?
Such a liar. I don't know. It feels good.
That's like a stripper move. Yes, it is a happy move.
Why'd you make it dark? How do you know what they do?
Now let's get back to Chloe.
Welcome to The Voice.
Yeah.
And more importantly, welcome to Team Champ!
Check out Jeremiah's Top 10 New Artist Picks on Radio India Alliance each week. The Radio India Alliance is a chart service that allows indie recording artists an opportunity to have chart placements. We don't charge. We support. RadioIndiaAlliance.com.
Hey, what's up? It's Carter Rubin. I was privileged enough to be crowned the winner of season 19 of The Voice. You can go listen to my music on Apple Music, iTunes, YouTube Music, and Spotify. And you're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
Hey, it's Tim Stack, and having been in show business for so long, I have a lot of really funny friends, and you can hear them all on It's Radio with TV's Tim Stack. That's part of the Jeremiah Show. So listen.
I can't seem to focus, and you don't seem to notice I'm not here. I'm just a mirror. You check your complexion to find your reflections all alone. I had to go. Can't you hear me? I'm not coming home. Do you understand? I've changed my plan.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. We're having such a fun time with Jamar Langley and Chloe Abbott. Chloe, I guess since Dr. D tells me I only have one more segment here with you. First off, I'd love if Jamar jumped in here and was able to, you guys are great friends, ask a question. Jamar, do you have one for Chloe?
I do. I have a question for Chloe. Chloe, welcome to the Jeremiah Show, first of all. We're so happy to have you today, man. Like, it's amazing that you're here.
my new co-host.
Come on, man. Listen, I got you.
I know you do, Jamar. I know you do.
But Chloe, I have a question for you. So what advice would you give for the young ladies of this generation? Because, you know, like teenage ladies that may have, like, there's something that they're good at, but they want to do that other thing. You know what I mean? Like, how you're able to run at a high level and you're also able to sing at a high level. What advice could you give them to work that out?
Such a great question. I'm thinking about your beautiful daughter in this moment. And I would say it's all about communication. And I think that's the biggest thing. The biggest thing is to focus on communication with your coaches, with your directors in the high school play. And that's just speaking to my personal journey. I love track and field, but I also really love the arts and being creative. And so it's kind of always been that balance. And so I think obviously communication with your parents, communication with the people around you to kind of let them know, like, hey, this is what I want to do. And it does take good people in your life to be able to also support you and like back you up with those statements you make to them, like in confidence, like, hey, I really want to do this track meet, but I really, really, really have this desire to be Tiana in Princess and the Frog. So I want to go and audition for that. And so one's going to have to sacrifice. And so I think really the biggest thing I always say is communication and knowing what you want. And even if you don't know what you want, having people in your life to be able to help you kind of figure that out and navigate it and let you figure it out on your own. And I think the second thing would just be to be patient and have grace with yourself when, you know, you do have to make sacrifices, because this journey is all about making sacrifices and being able to be okay with, like, you know what, I'm going to miss out on The Voice because I have the Olympic trials I want to go for. And as much as I want to be on The Voice this season, I have to put that on hold. And being patient and believing that you can still have what you want and how it's all going to work out. You can still have those things, but you have to be okay with the timing of it. And like I said, I really think it's about having people in your life kind of speaking that into you. Like, it's okay that it's not happening right now. It's going to happen though. And when it does happen, you'll be a lot more grateful that you waited. And so I think that's really my two main things. That's a great question.
That's an excellent question. In fact, it was such a good question that you're now listening to the Jamar Show.
Come on.
I've passed the torch. It's all yours, Jamar. You guys both, excellent answer as well, Chloe. You both chose Chance the Rapper, first time right on the Voice. And Chance has said about joining The Voice. He said, I'm thrilled to join The Voice as a coach for the next season. I'm excited to help other artists get to the next level and make the most of this life-changing experience. And it really is a life-changing experience. I'm sure you both would agree with that. And he says, get ready for hashtag Team Chance. Chloe, why did you choose Chance the Rapper?
Well, the first things first, he's the only one who's felt me. You know what I'm saying? He's the only one understood his assignment.
That's right. But you know what? I got to tell you, that was a silly, but would you have chose someone else? No, you can't say that. Never mind. Don't answer that. Don't get yourself in trouble. I got to tell you though, I worked for the guys that build those chairs. I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this if they're listening. They told me in the beginning, they've probably fixed them, but they said they would always kind of stick and sometimes they wouldn't turn all the way. So let's just think that that's what happened.
You know,
all of them wanted to turn, but three of them got stuck.
No, I'm grateful that he turned. If I'm going to be honest, I think that was really one of the main coaches I wanted to work with from the beginning of when we found out that Chance was going to be on the panel. Yeah. So I'm so glad that he was the one who turned and he was the one that I wanted anyway. So
yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see the coaching from Chance. I think there's going to be some really great stuff that comes out of that. You are working so hard and you have been your whole life. And you know, this just incredible rigorous schedule as a track and field athlete. You tried out and qualified to compete in the 2020, fell just a little bit short, and you're now training in Los Angeles for the 2024 Olympics. Your YouTube channel, I kind of got lost in it. I want to encourage everybody, because we're not going to have enough time to go through all the questions I had regarding the different videos on your YouTube channel. So I want everybody to go and check that out. But Chloe, you've got, you know, what you eat, your regimen, your training. And I just thought it's some great videos there for just personal health, personal mental wellness, eating right, competing, just some really good advice there. I really like the channel and your videos. But what is going on? 2024 Olympics, what is that like, training for the Olympics?
Oh, it's so hard. Oh, like it's so hard. Like, tough.
Are you tired?
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, did you just get out of practice to do this show?
No, actually, today's a recovery day. So I typically do all, like, you know, interviews and stuff like that on Wednesdays because, yesterday we got our butts kicked. And tomorrow we're going to get our butts kicked again. But no, I mean, it's so rewarding, like, having moments like this, be able to share. And I think even to speak to, you know, someone like Jamar's daughter, being able to be an advocate and also a visual person who is really pursuing two things that they really love. And doesn't even have to be two things. It could be 10 things, whatever it is, like, being able to talk about it. So yeah, like, this is really, really rewarding. And it's super tough, though. Like, I do not want to make it seem like it's just, oh, you just get to go to the Olympics. No, it's like, no joke. You, and the type of group that I'm in, it's a very intense training group. And so it's no small feat.
What are the best moments for you out there on the track, during the training, when you're running, when you're by yourself? I mean, what type of things go through your mind? What do you get from that?
One of the most favorite things I think I enjoy the most is when I get a rep right, you know, in practice, you know, and my coach Bobby Kersey, he kind of says, like, hey, you know, I need you to run this a certain way. And then when I do it and I accomplish it, it's really, oh my gosh, please close the door. Sorry, I'm in a house with people. And I'm anyways,
it's real life. It's real life. We get it. I got Dr.
Sorry.
D in here. Dr. D keeps looking at me.
But yeah, so in short, what I'm saying is getting a ref right is really fulfilling because, I mean, you work hard for it. And then when it comes out on top, you're like, heck yeah, I did it. And then I think just being able to overcome those internal thoughts that you have when, you know, you feel fatigue in your legs, you feel like your body wants to quit. I mean, like, professional athletes, I really believe, are on borderline psychotic. Because we go through pain every single day. We know how it feels. We don't forget the way that it feels, but we still line up to do it every day. And so I think being able to overcome those battles in my head of like, oh my gosh, you want to stop, you're tired. It's like, no, I can do it. And then when you do it, it's like, oh, I can do that again. It's kind of like training your body to have self-control when it comes to like overcoming those mental battles you have.
You're such a fascinating person, isn't she, Jamar? I mean, you could talk and we could ask questions.
I'm just shaking my head. Like, listen, that is so correct. Like, I mean, I never, you know, ran on that level, but like, even when it comes to like just doing music my whole life, it requires exactly what she's saying. You have to like push through the pressure. Like, that's the key, like, to really push through the pressure.
We do have to wrap up here in a moment, and it's going to be a bittersweet goodbye for both of you. And I'm going to once again say I hope you come back, because we've got a lot of topics I think we could explore, and I'd love to have your opinion on. But I want to end with this one, if we could. Not the most happy, but on your bio sheet here, you were bullied in high school, Chloe, and I'm recalling about a month back where the poor girl got bullied in school and then took her life. And I was bullied in school. And I think all of us at one point have probably been bullied in school. How did you deal with that? And is there something that you advocate, that something you could tell women, young girls of your age out right there right now, that would inspire them? And if they're being bullied right now, something that helped you, somewhere that they could go to?
I mean, yeah, high school and middle school is hard. I mean, you're dealing with kids who have parents who treat their kids a certain way, and then they come to school and decide to take it out on you. And so I will say, like, it's hard navigating that. I don't think that there's really like a surefire way of being able to get through it. I think that some people just can handle it and figure out how to navigate it. And some people, like you said, they don't know and they don't have the right resources or the right people. And they just feel like this is the worst thing in the world and they can't survive it, you know, and it's horrible. And I think for me, you know, being bullied, definitely, you know, I didn't have a lot of confidence. You know, I didn't really believe that I could do certain things. My mom was really the only voice of reason I had in my life at that time during high school and middle school to really remind me, like, you are a light in this world. You are here because you're supposed to be here. You have gifts, you know, like you can do this. And I will say it took the track to really help me see that I am more than just some ugly girl with braids in her hair and, you know, too black for the people around her, you know, like having success on the track really showed people how to respect me, I guess, and treat me like a human being, you know? So after I kind of had some victories on the track, people started to see me as a human and started to respect me and say hi to me and be respectful. And then I started to believe in myself. And it's unfortunate that I had to wait for other people's validation to believe in myself. But like, as a 13-year-old girl, you don't know, you know, that that's not how this world works all the time. So I think the biggest thing in regards to encouragement is to, it's hard, but spending time with yourself and really, despite the fact that your reality shows that no one likes you or no one believes in you, like if you're here on earth, you're here for a reason and you're supposed to be here and you're called to be in this world and you matter. And that may not always be enough, but I think that's the only thing that you can really cling on to when all you can see is hate and bullies. So that's my encouragement, but I wish there could be more, but.
No, that was beautiful. That was really beautiful. Chloe, what's your YouTube channel so people can see more and hear more of your wisdom?
My YouTube is just Chloe Abbott, just C-H-L-O-E. Not C-L-O, I don't know how people spell my name. C-H-L-O-E. And two B's and two T's in my last name, Abbott.
Because one Chloe is not enough. She needs the two B's and the two T's. She's got that much going for her. Beautiful story. You both are beautiful people, and I just had so much fun with both of you this hour. Thank you so much, and I will be following you on The Voice and in everything else you do, and rooting for you at the Olympics 2024, Chloe. Yeah. Jamar. Yes. Chloe's referenced your daughter a couple times, your beautiful daughter. What is her name and why do you reference her, Chloe? If it's not too personal, I thought it was neat that you had mentioned her a couple times and if we could give her a little shout out here and say hello.
Yeah. Jamar talks about his daughter all the time. And I mean, that was one of the main reasons why, I mean, I'm not trying to speak for you, Jamar, but I mean, I think that kind of helped him. I feel like that kind of helped him figure out who he is as an artist and as a man. And I think that kind of put things into perspective. And then, you know, she does run track and field. And so Jamar like loves, you know, trying to find people for his daughter to, you know, look up to, be inspired by. And raising a daughter in this world, you know, especially as a black man, I think just has its own, you know, issues and challenges. And so I love how much Jamar loves his daughter. I think that that's something that I've always appreciated about Jamar, and he's always thinking about his daughter. And so, whenever he talks to me about his daughter, I think about, okay, yeah, what should I do? You know, like, how should I be, you know, more reachable to youth? And because Jamar is seeking that out for his daughter. And I think that's huge. Like, because not a lot of parents and fathers do that. So
very, very admirable for sure. Yeah.
Couldn't have said it better.
I don't, if you want to say her name, I don't know if you want out there publicly, but if you do, go ahead.
Yes, it can. Shout out to my daughter, Zyasia Langley. I love you so much. And I pray that you're able to hear this. I'll make sure that you hear and just know that, hey, what Chloe said is absolutely right. Like when I had you, that's when the drive really kicked in. That's when everything was like, okay, I went from, you know, just playing and fiddle faddling around to like, okay, this could be a serious thing. so that I could build a life for you so that you will have a life that's easier than mine. And you couldn't have said it better. So love you, Zaija, so much.
Beautiful.
Chloe is your new track coach. Thank you.
Right.
Okay. We have to say goodbye here because I want all of this to air on radio and we're going long, but and my camera's falling apart, so I guess that's a good sign, or that's an indication I got to say goodbye. Both of you though, say give me one word to your fans. Chloe, go first, please. Shout out to your fans for The Voice and how they vote for you and all that stuff. All that good stuff.
Stay tuned. Definitely stay tuned to next week for me and Jamar to make the next rounds of whatever The Voice is doing. Knockout battles? What is it? So much going on. Battles. Stay tuned and definitely support us on Instagram and just show us your love. And yeah, get ready to see a good show.
That's it. Jeez.
You got it. All right.
Stay tuned. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much, Chloe. Hang on one moment so we can get your radio drop promo before you leave. I want to tell everybody out there, thank you so much for listening. Watch out. Watch for NBC's The Voice Season 23. It's on 8/7 Central. NBC's The Voice Season 23 and streaming on Peacock the very next day. Communicate, but listen more and evolve. Have a great week, everybody.
It doesn't get better than this. Every moment is bliss. Even when auntie keep on grabbing you for kisses, baby. Forget the presents and all the material things. I love the joy that all my family brings. Yeah, they're my foundation and man, they keep me warm. It's Christmas, baby, and I'm gonna enjoy the conversation about my situations with the endless questions that my niece is asking me. But oh, I can't get enough of it all. We're chillin', feelin' comfortable. It's just that special time of year. Laughing and shedding tears. Fighting over grandma's dinner rolls. Cause we're all right here. Where our worries disappear. Let's gather round for dinner table talks. Dinner table talks. It's all love, it's all love, yeah.
Hi, this is comedian Maj Chobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show. Listen, man.
Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify. The Jeremiah Show. Look for the black label. As always, a big thanks to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the air at all. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas at jeremiah@thejeremiahshow.com. or on Messenger, on Facebook, or Instagram. The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins and me, your announcer, Tony Kelly. Communicate, listen more, and evolve.
I'ma put my guns in the ground. I can't shoot them anymore. That cold black cloud is coming down.
My name's Danny Trejo. Jeremiah, you're loved, Holmes.
I love you.